Welcome to church, everybody. Welcome, welcome. Grab your Bibles. 1 Kings chapter 22 is where I want to get started today. I think God has something powerful in store for his people as we tune our hearts to his word. We're going to continue on with our series called First. Somebody say First. First. Your life and this year is going to be as good as what you put first. First. Our decisions this year are going to be good decisions or bad decisions based upon what we determine is most important. And you have made the single greatest decision that you can make by starting your week off first in the presence of the Lord on a Sunday morning. There's a reason why we do that at the beginning of every year. Not only will we come to church, but we'll start fasting and praying because we feel like if you hear from God first, he's going to redeem the rest of this year. And if 2020 has shown us anything, we need God to redeem our years. I've learned my lesson. I'm going to seek you first. Jesus says that to seek first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, and all these other things are going to be added unto you. So he tells us that when we seek God first, he begins to take care of the things that we're worrying about. And this week, I want to talk about seeking first a word from God. How do we get a word from God? I'm completely amazed that more and more as I spend time in ministry, that this ends up being the number one question that I get from most people is, how do I hear God? What does that sound like? What does it feel like? Is that a urging? Is it a scripture? Is it a feeling? Is it an open circumstance? And the answer is yes, 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 yes. But there's always a difference between those things that just happen and actually hearing from God. You know, my job on Sunday morning is not to have a word from God for you, but to show you how to hear from God for yourself. How to hear from God for yourself. And I want you to understand that God does not have a communication problem. God knows how to speak. God knows how to speak to you. But more often than not, the problem is on our end, not being able to discern, is this God or is this good? Is this God or is this me? Is this God or is this something cool? Is this pop culture? Is this something that just sounds pretty good? Is this something that makes sense? How do I know if it's God or if it's just me? And so my job is to teach you how to do that. And if you've never heard from God before, please hear me. You're going to hear from God today. You need to understand that God wants to speak to you. And if you've never heard from him, you're going to hear from him today. You know, theologically, many people would say that God doesn't speak anymore, that everything he needed to say, he wrote down in his word. And I get that, but there's also a group of people in this place that would say, I talked to him this morning. So I understand the importance and the value of God's written word, but there's also God's spoken word that helps us to understand specifically what he wants for us to do, how he wants us to make our choices and our priorities around this year. God, what do you want from me? What are you asking of me? How do I find you above all the noise and the confusion that I'm hearing in my world? Over the next 3 days, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday will be prayer and presbytery services. Don't let those words fool you. It's all about hearing from God. We will fast, we will pray, and we will hear God. You're gonna get specific words, the direction for your life. And by the way, those are not gonna come through me. This is God speaking to you. And I want you to set that attitude of expectancy that I can hear God. He does love me. He does want to speak to me. And I want to hear from him. Amen. Set that expectancy in your heart that you're going to hear from God. God wants to be able to redeem your choices and your decisions to give you a year of productivity, a year where it makes sense as far as you following after the will and the ways of God. He has a plan for your life. And the worst thing that I can do as a pastor is to tell you a statement like that God has a plan for your life, that God wants to speak to you, and then never tell you how. But yet we do that in churches all the time. God has a plan for you. Well, what is it? Tell me. Help me. Tune in next Sunday for the word that God has for you. Like, no, come on. Let's not do that. First, I need a word. Somebody say a word. A word. If you're watching us online, tap that in the chat. I need a word, a word, a word. Capitalize the W too. I need a word from the Lord. I want to show you how to get that. So in 1 Kings chapter 22, it talks to us about a particular situation that they needed the word of the Lord, very much like we do today. And I found that as I make my decisions, as I make choices at the beginning of this year, I want to make sure that I'm guided by the authority of a word from the Lord. Trust me, you want God to be leading me. You don't want me to come up here and just tell you what I think. You don't want that. My mind is full of pop culture and trivia and random 90s movies quotes. You don't want that from me. It's not gonna help you. But a word from the Lord changes everything. A A word from the Lord changes everything, and it's always good. It's always for your good. And it may not be what you want to hear, but it's always what you need to hear. He tells you the truth because God literally is the capital T truth. He wants to guide your decisions. There's a powerful quote from John Maxwell that says this, "Life is a matter of choices, and every choice you make makes you." The choices that you make this year are gonna determine how well your year goes. But as followers of Jesus, we have an incredible advantage to be able to tap into the voice of the Creator, the King of Kings, and say, "Lord, what do you want for my life? What would you have for me to do this year? How can I be a part of what you're doing?" And God begins to speak to us so that he guides our choices, helps us to make better ones, helps us to make God ones. Life is a matter of the choices that you make. And when we choose to honor God first, he begins to redeem and lead those choices. Is that helping anybody today? 1 Kings 22, I wanna pick it up right there in verse 2. And kind of the theme I was putting behind this is now a word from our sponsors. Do you remember that? Now a word from our sponsors. You don't hear that a lot anymore, but I remember growing up in a house that had no television. My parents didn't believe in that. We didn't have a television until I was 14. But some of the greatest days were the Friday nights that my parents would go on a date night and they would ship us four kids off to Meemaw's house. And those Friday nights were one thing, but the Saturday mornings, that was what you waited for, because Saturday mornings meant homemade tortillas at a Mexican grandma's house, bacon, and Saturday morning cartoons. Come on, somebody. Oh, and if you've never had the opportunity to wake up to the smell of homemade tortillas being made by a woman that, hey, you couldn't even pronounce her name in English like that. This, you know it's gonna be good. Just the smell, you don't need an alarm clock, you just need the smell, just, there is a God. Wait, what did I say? Where am I? I'm in heaven. There's nothing like that. And people all the time, "Oh, but have you tried this place in Longview?" Like, it doesn't matter. It's not grandma's. It doesn't matter. Like, there's a smell. And having a homemade tortilla, this past week, me and Pastor Doug and James Williams, another one of our leaders here, we were in Fort Worth at our sister campus, and we're spending the night there. And James is like, "Look, I'm from England, and I know you guys are all about Mexican breakfast. I don't like Mexican food that much, but I'll go with you guys." And I'm like, "Yeah, you will, because we ain't changing. I'm sorry, Bubba. There are some places here that I know that I can go where the waiters and waitresses speak no English, and that's exactly how I need it. The hole-in-the-wall places that everybody else turns their nose up at, that's where I want to eat. I've been dieting long enough. I'm getting ready to fast. I got to go glutton first." The Lord did not guide that decision. Didn't have to. My heart was already there. And so we grab our Mexican breakfast, and of course they deliver us some homemade tortillas, and you just open those bad boys up, and I say, "Hey, before you take a bite, smell it. Just smell it. Just..." All anxiety just melts away. Like, you can't get that in a package, bro. It's not the same. It's not the same. Waking up to that smell, watching some Saturday morning cartoons when TV was forbidden, and they would always start those Saturday morning shows off with a kind of a recap of what all happened last week, and then they show you a preview of the tense things that they're gonna get into this week, and they'd say, "But first, a word from our sponsors. First, a word from the people that are paying the bills. First, a word from the people that made all of this possible." It's important that we keep that in the front of our minds as we approach 2021. But first, a word from the boss. Before I plan out my year, before I make decisions, before I categorize and prioritize, first, I need a word from the Lord. 1 Kings 22 says this in verse 2. It says, "Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, went down to see the king of Israel," which, by the way, we know is Ahab. "The king of Israel has said to his officials, 'Don't you know that Ramoth-Gilead belongs to us, and yet we're doing nothing to retake it from the king of Aram?' The king of Aram had been defeated in battle, and he had promised to return a bunch of cities back to Israel, but he had kept this one, hoping that they wouldn't notice. And the king looks at the other king and says, 'Man, come on, we're brothers here. You're in Judea, I'm in Israel. We're kings of these great countries. We have two huge armies. That's only 40 miles away. It's a small kingdom. Let's go get it. You wanna go get it? Doesn't that make sense? We got a huge army. Let's do this. Are you with me?" Here it goes on to say, "So we asked Jehoshaphat, 'Will you go with me to fight against Ramoth-Gilead?' Jehoshaphat replied to the king of Israel, 'I am as you are. You're my boy, boo-boo, whatever you say. My people, my horses, your horses.' But Jehoshaphat also said, 'Wait, but first, let's seek the counsel of the Lord.'" If you're an underliner in your Bible, you want to underline that. If you want to highlight a scripture, highlight that scripture, because it's an important thing that you tape over this entire year before you do anything else. First, before we go to war, and this year's going to be a battle, please hear me. Before you go to war, let me hear from the Lord first. Let me hear from the Lord, because this makes sense. It looks like this might be the right thing. We've got an advantage. It's a good time. Let's just do it. I got you. You got me. Why not? We got horses. We didn't get dressed up for nothing. Let's go ahead and take it. Wait. First, let's seek the counsel of the Lord. The first thing I want to show you is the importance of this. Number one, if you're a note taker, write this down. God's word in decision-making is critical. It's critical. It's critical. Because only God sees all the angles. He's the one that sits enthroned on the circle of the earth. He sees the beginning from the end. He sees the ins and the outs. You may see it as a good opportunity, but God sees things completely different than what you see. He sees things that you don't see. He's the all-seeing, all-knowing, all-wise God. So let's seek the counsel of the Lord before we just rush into this decision. That's a big deal. And so what they decide to do is to stop, and then they collaborate and listen like Vanilla Ice. This is why you don't want a word from me. You want a word from God, because my mind is full of Vanilla Ice quotes. Some of you have no idea who that prophet is. But Ice is back with a brand new invention. Something grabs a hold of him tightly. I'm going to move on. You have no idea what I'm talking about. First, let's stop. Let's collaborate and listen. God sees the things that we don't see. Hebrews chapter 4 tells us this. If we're going to be politically correct and gender neutral, Hebrews and Shebrews chapter 4. Amen? And a woman? No? Are we going to change the name on every manatee from now on? It's like we have manatees and womanatees. Let's keep the men used and women use? I don't know. I don't know how far this goes. I don't understand how to be politically correct. Hebrews 4 just simply says this. Nothing in all creation is hidden from my God. He sees every bit of it. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. You're going to give an account for your life with what you did with what God showed you. And God says, I want to reveal these things to you. I want to speak to my people. I see everything and I want to help you make good decisions. And you're going to have to give an account for the decisions that you make. Might be good for you to ask me. God's the only one that sees the things that we don't see. Psalm 119 says, your word is a lamp to my feet. It's a light to my path. I need to know the next step. And his word gives me that. I found this to be true, that you can't do the will of God until you have a word from God. What's the will of God for my life, Pastor? How do I find the will of God? You find the will of God by getting a word from God specifically for you. And here's the great news today. He's gonna speak to you. As a matter of fact, he probably already has. You just didn't know it. He wants to speak to his people. And whether you believe that or not, whether theologically that fits within your framework, it doesn't matter. It's the truth. God has not stopped speaking. He doesn't have a communication problem. He didn't just stop speaking 2,000 years ago. He speaks today. He wants to speak to you. You've gotta believe that. He has a word for you, and it's for your good. So God's word in decision-making is critical for us. Here's the second thing that we see from this story is that what we want to hear and what we need to hear are often two different things. Many of us want the word of God until it disagrees with us. We want God's will. We want God's ways as long as they fit into my 5-year plan, as long as they make sense to me. And we want to hear a word from God and then decide whether or not we're really going to obey it. God, why don't you tell me what you want for my life and then I'll make up my decision of whether or not I'm gonna obey you. Doesn't work that way. God's looking for people whose hearts are completely his, who live on the other side of yes. Like, Lord, I'm gonna say yes, whatever you say, because I'm completely and totally 100% submitted to you. Amen. What do you say? What are you speaking into my life? I wanna hear from you. Often what I wanna hear and what I need to hear, they can be two different things. That's okay, but I trust you. You know, after a year like 2020, we tend to only want good news. You do. Let's be honest. Like, don't tell me anything bad. Tell me that all of that is over in 2020, and from here on, it's sunshine and rainbows. I want to tell you that, but unfortunately, as you start getting towards the back of this book, that's not what that says. Okay, then, Lord, tell me what I need to hear. Show me how to navigate through these tough times instead of just avoiding them in some fantasy land where nothing bad can happen. Show me, what do you want from me? What step do I take? I want to hear from you. 2 Timothy 4 promises us exactly what's going to happen in the last days. Paul is speaking to this young pastor, and he says this in verse 3. He says, the time will come when people will not listen to sound doctrine, but will follow their own desires. They will collect for themselves more and more teachers who will tell them what their itching ears want to hear. Not what they need to hear, what they want to hear. So, pastor, tell me that I can live any way that I want to live and that God has to bless me. Tell me that I can ignore the sin issues in my life and God doesn't care about that. He knows my heart. Tell me that I can live in and make the decisions that I want to make. I can live in complete sin and God has to forgive me and bless my life. Tell me those things. That's not in his word. I'm sorry. There's a big difference between hearing God's word and his will and then following after your own. I wonder if we would accept that from our doctor. If your doctor only told you what you wanted to hear, I think that at some point you would sue him or her. You'd sue him. Like, why didn't you tell me the truth? You didn't want to hear the truth. Why didn't you tell me that I was terminal? Didn't feel like that was important. I didn't want to ruin your day. Why didn't you tell me this wasn't going to happen? Like, well, you know, you had your Starbucks and I don't know. Everything's fine. Like, no, I would sue you. Like, tell me, what does that X-ray show? What's that huge black mass that's growing inside of me? We're going to call that your personality. It's awesome. Tell me the truth, right? As we get into God's word, that should be our heart. Lord, just tell me the truth. What do you want me to do? How does this work? What are you saying to me? I want the truth. And so this is what happens in verse 6. After the king, Jehoshaphat, asks King Ahab, he says, why don't we get a word from the Lord? This is what he does. So the king of Israel brought together the prophets, about 400 men and women, and asked, sorry, I'm trying to be politically correct. I don't know how far that goes. Shall I go to war against Ramoth-Gilead or shall I refrain? Go, they answered, for the Lord will give it into the king's hand. But Jehoshaphat said, wait a minute, is there no longer a prophet of the Lord that we can inquire of? Because these people are just telling you what you want to hear. This is exactly where we find the state of the church today. And we will leave churches until they tell us what we want to hear. So take the Bible, twist it any way that you want to, and then just tell me I can live my life and not have to pay any attention to what God's word says. His word has the authority. And many of us wonder why we can't hear, but we've already rejected the word of the Lord before you even give it a chance. We don't change God's word. God's word changes us. Here's the third thing that I see is that there's a big difference between good plans and God plans. Big difference. So King Ahab looks at Jehoshaphat. It's like, man, we got a big army. This little town that already belongs to us, it's only 40 miles away. Let's just take it. Seems like it makes a lot of sense. But how many people know that sometimes things that make sense, God says, yeah, not on this side. No. Like, God, why didn't that work? It made sense. It should be just fine. It should be easy. God said, that's not my will for you. Why can't I make that happen? It's so simple. That's not good for you. This is what happens when they start seeking the word of the Lord, but they surround themselves with 400 people that will just tell you what you want to hear. What you want to hear. Our social media is full of people with so much noise. And at some point with your likes, with your comments, with your shares, with your blocks, with your friends, you'd eventually get your social media feed full of people that will tell you what you want to hear. That will reinforce things inside of you that become who you are. Life is all about the choices that you make, and at some point, those choices make you. That's what I want to hear. And we will mistake what we're surrounding ourselves with for the word of the Lord. We will ignore what's written, and we will follow what's posted. Not you, of course. No. The people in the third service, they do that. Not us. We don't do that. We're better than that. Not us. You know, good advice that isn't God's ain't good. Look at verse 8. The king of Israel answered Jehoshaphat, "Well, there is still one prophet whom we can acquire of the Lord, but I hate him because he never prophesies anything good about me, always bad." There's one person I know tells the truth, but I don't like it, so I've thrown him in prison. His name is Micaiah, the prophet. He's thrown him in prison because he never agrees with me. At some point, you need to understand that there's a big difference between agreeing with you and telling you the truth. And at some point, if the truth tells you that you're wrong, maybe the problem is not with the truth. Maybe the problem is with you. Hello. And when God's word keeps contradicting what you believe, maybe what you believe is wrong. And when God's word tells you that you can hear from him, but what you've been taught is that I can't. He doesn't speak to people like me. He speaks only through a pastor, somebody that's really, really super saved. Not to me. You don't hear from him. And you'll surround yourself with people that just tell you what you want to hear. You know, ultimately, Ahab had a lot of sin issues. The Bible calls him a wicked king. He had brought in so much idol worship, had led God's people into a ton of sin, and surrounded himself with people that call themselves the prophets of the Lord. And maybe some of this, I didn't mention this in first service, maybe because some of them believe that he had repented. And in chapter 11, he had done a sincere repentance. It just didn't last very long. He's one of those guys that had a moment with the Lord, but didn't really submit to him. Kind of went back to his old ways. And many of us have people that we know, not us, but people that we know that have done that. You repent a little bit, and then you're like, okay, I'm on fire for a few minutes. And then after a while, it's like, yeah, but I really like to do things this way. So let me find these prophets of the Lord surrounding them. And you guys, you saw me repent, so prophesy good things now. And of course they do it. They're happy to tell their king what they want him to hear. But it wasn't the truth, and he knew it wasn't the truth. And he's leading God's people wrong and calling it the truth, surrounding himself with false prophets. It shows us this, that God doesn't bless sin even if the church that you go to says it's okay. His word is final. What matters is what this thing says, not what you say and not what I say. It's what he says. We have to go back to the authority of God's word, especially when we're making huge decisions with our life. And as I was putting this message together months and months ago, the Lord led me to this one single sentence that I want to make sure I share with you today that you hear very, very clearly from me. This is point number 4, that God is far more concerned with his people than your country. Please hear me. I cannot say it any stronger than that. He's more concerned with the status of your heart than he ever is with this country. Does that mean that this country is not an amazing place to live? Yes, it is. I hope for our sake that this country continues to be free, that we're allowed to preach God's word from the pulpit with freedom. I love that about our country. These things are worth fighting for. Yes. But don't get it twisted. The American way and God's way will conflict. And at some point, church, you've got to make a decision. And it concerns me when I see Christians that don't know the difference between where our country is going and where God's word is going. We find ourselves surrounding ourselves with things that just tell us what we want to hear. You're not going to find the word America in this book. As a matter of fact, Jesus in John 16 was surrounding himself with his disciples as he's just about to leave. He says, I'm sending you the power of the Holy Spirit. Like, don't leave us, Jesus. We thought you were just about to take over this country. This is the time you're gonna show up and bring us all back and you're gonna deliver us from the Roman rule. He said, that's none of your business. I'm not concerned about that. I'm concerned about you. He said, I'm giving you the Holy Spirit to be my witnesses in Judea and Samaria, to the outermost parts of the earth. It's bigger than America. It's God's people who are called by his name, filled with his spirit, hearing from him and becoming who God has called us to be, not following in line with a political party. That is not part of this word. That's not for you. That's for third service, I'm sure. That's not us. We know better. We're choosing the Lord, absolutely. God is far more concerned with his people than he is with any country. It's his people. And he says, if my people who are called by my name, he says, if they will humble themselves and seek my face, if they'll turn from their wicked ways, he said, I'm gonna hear from heaven and I'll heal their land. That's a word to any country, God says, if my people that are living there, if they'll turn to me, I'll start healing it. You see, we want the healing of our land, but we don't want to repent. No, just tell me what I want to hear. That some political party is going to come in and make it all right. No, they won't. No, they won't. You know, I was talking to a friend of mine who's heavily involved in the politics of this country. And if I told you their names, you'd know who they were. I said, what's the craziest thing that you've realized spending so much time with our politicians? He said, you know what's crazy? They're idiots. And we think in our mind that they're incredibly smart. And they are not smarter than you. They're not. They have no idea what they're voting for. Shocking. Shocking. Church, we have to know the difference between what God says and what we just want to hear. His word is eternal and it will stand long after we're gone. Look at what says in verse 15. It says, when he arrived, the king asked him, okay, Micah, I brought you out of prison. Now, just am I supposed to go to war with Ramoth Gilead or not? And he says, you can just hear the sarcasm, by the way, in his voice. Hey, attack and be victorious. The Lord will give it into the king's hands. And the king said, wait a minute. I'm picking up a little sarcasm in your voice because that's not you. You always say bad things about me. He said, okay. How many times must I make you swear to tell me nothing but the truth in the name of the Lord? And this is where God's people need to be today. Just tell me the truth. What's the Lord saying? Then Micah said, okay, you want the truth? Well, you can't handle the truth. He said, I saw God's people scattered on the hills like sheep without a shepherd. And the Lord says, these people have no master. Let them go home in peace. Go home. Don't do this. Go home. You're going down a bad path. Go home. Peace. Go home. The king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, didn't I tell you that he never prophesied anything good about me, only bad? I told you. Micah said, you want the truth? Here's verse 23. He says, the Lord's decreed disaster for you. You keep going down this path, there's disaster there. Go home, turn around. And there's the truth. Well, ultimately, they decided to just go anyway. And I think many of us, we would never admit that, but we know what God has asked us to do, but we live how we want. And we wonder that, where are you, God, when things don't work out? It's like I told you. Why won't you listen to me? I think for many of us, we just don't value his voice, or we're not quite sure that it's God and not just our inner monologue or just us fighting amongst ourselves inside of our spirit. God wants to make himself very, very clear to you. He wants you to understand that. You see, hearing from God first helps me know the difference between making a difference and bringing disaster. That's what we want for your life, to make a difference with the time that you have left, to not waste your life. So how do I hear from God? I want to make sure I give you three really quick things, basic things on hearing from God. If you've never done this before, I'm going to show you how to do this today. I'll get you started on the right track. And then, of course, on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, as we fast and pray, if you've never done that, start fasting, start praying, because God's going to show up. As a matter of fact, I found it to be true that God never hides his will from those that are sincerely seeking it. He wants to talk to you. For some of us, it's about time. Here's how to hear from God. If you're a note taker, you might want to write this down, especially if you've never done this before. Number one, make an appointment. Make an appointment. I'll even add this, and keep it. Say, okay, Lord, tomorrow between 9:45 and 11:15 or whatever that magic time period is for you that you know you have some freedom, say, that's your time. And I will not allow my phone to distract me. I'm not going to do anything else. I'm going to close my door, put a do not disturb sign on the door. I'm going to put earmuffs and Barney on the iPad for the kids, whatever it takes. But I'm hearing from you. I'm setting an appointment to hear from you. As a matter of fact, Pastor Robert Moore says this about hearing from God. He says, missed appointments lead to disappointments. Don't miss the appointment. Don't miss it. Make time in your schedule that you value the voice of the Lord. Lord, nothing else is more important than me hearing from you right here and right now in this moment. I'm giving you this time. And then you wait. Listen and wait. Start writing down what you think he might be saying. Just wait. Make an appointment. And wait, here's the second part. Prepare your heart beforehand. You know, I love it when people that work on our staff, I love when we have meetings together and they come in prepared. It makes a difference on as far as our productive meetings. But when someone comes into my office, you're like, wait a minute, what were we gonna meet about today? And what was that? What was I supposed to bring to you? Oh yeah, that was important. Okay, let me just try to remember. Like, you're not prepared for this. You're wasting my time, right? Let's honor the Lord by valuing his time, by being prepared beforehand. So I start, if I know that I'm gonna be hearing from the Lord, I start by preparing my heart. God, I wanna be able to say yes to whatever it is that you say. Psalm 100 tells us that who can ascend the hill of the Lord, who can stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart. I start with forgiveness. Lord, I wanna repent. I don't wanna bring nasty stuff into your presence. I wanna stand before you clean hands and pure hearts so I can hear from you and get instruction for my day. I prepare beforehand. The Lord comes to an environment that's prepared for him. And then number three, be ready to respond. And here's the issue I think a lot of us still have with hearing from the Lord. It's like, Lord, I wanna hear from you, and then I wanna decide whether or not this is good advice. But what we say around here is that we live on the other side of yes. That means that before he even asks me, my answer is yes, because I trust him. Yes, yes, my answer is yes. Whatever you say, my answer is yes. I prepare my heart beforehand, and then I'm ready to respond. Psalm 119 says, without delay, I hurry to obey your commands. I'm doing them right now. Whatever it is that you say, I'm doing it now. Yes. James 1 says, you're not to be just hearers of the word, but doers of it. Perhaps one of the reasons why you're not hearing from the Lord is because you're disobedient to what he's already told you. That's not in my notes, but there's things that God's already told you to do. Maybe you didn't know him. Let's give you some benefit of the doubt here. Maybe you weren't sure. Maybe you weren't sure if that was the Lord or that was you. He can confirm himself. That's okay. Monday and Tuesday, Wednesday, we can start confirming those things in your heart. You won't hear from me. You're gonna hear from the Lord for yourself. And so as a matter of fact, I wanna show you how to do this today. God has probably already spoken some things into your life. And as we finish up today, do me a favor, grab your phones. Open up the notes section of your phone. You want a clean page in your notes app. And for those of you that are 45 and under, you know, help somebody with some blue hair and say, hey, this is the iPhone. This is how you turn it on. This is the, if you're watching from home, go ahead and do this as well. Open up the note page. And on the very top, you're gonna title this, God's Word for Me. God's Word for Me. God's Word for Me. Somebody said, how do you spell word? Help them out, help them out, it's okay. Help your neighbor. Once you got it, help your neighbor. We got it, you got it, you got it, you got it. God's Word for Me. You there? Now I'm gonna give you 3 minutes to write down 5 things. If God was speaking to you and asking you to do 5 things this year, what do you think those would be? What do you think God is asking you to do this year? What would those 5 things be? Just start listing them off the top of your head. What do you think God would be asking of you? Just dream for a moment. What would God be asking of me? Let's take the next 3 minutes and begin to list those things down. And 3, 2, 1, stop. Look up at me if you would. Some of you are really upset that you didn't list 5 things, but you got 1 thing. You made the assumption that you have time. And I'm gonna stop you right here because it's the most important thing that I can tell you. When God speaks, do not assume that you have time to decide whether or not you're gonna obey what you've already heard. You don't have time. We're out of time, people. We're out of time. There's no more time. There's no more time. You're all in or you're out. Make a decision. God is speaking to your heart. He's already given you some instructions. You have this fantasy in your mind that I could take the rest of the year to be obedient to what God told me today. No, you don't. No, you don't. 2020 has taught us this. We don't have time. We don't have time to mess around. If you're watching this at home, you don't have time anymore. Make a decision. Are you gonna surround yourself with other voices, social media that will tell you what you wanna hear? Or will you trust the fact that God has given you a word and your job is to be ready to respond whatever he said? Okay, I'm not sure what that looks like, but I've got a word from the Lord. Where do I go where do I go with this next? Fasting, prayer. Take this word. Okay, God, show me how to do this. Show me what I'm hearing, how this works out practically. I need to hear from you. You've heard from God for yourself. I didn't tell you what to write down. God's already speaking to you. So we'll have our elders and their wives and some friends go ahead and stand up, and they're gonna meet you down here as we finish this service today. You're gonna make sure that you don't leave without being prayed for. If you wanna be prayed for, we wanna pray for you to seal this word inside of your heart. Here's something that I found out this week. There's a big difference for your goals in 2020 and 2021. Big difference from you hearing it to actually doing it. Most people won't do it. They'll ignore. They'll walk out of this service like, yeah, you know what? That was pretty cool. Good service. Let's go find something to eat. Let's enjoy the snow. and you've wasted what God just gave you. Value his voice. If you write it down, you have a 40% chance of actually starting to work on that. If you start telling somebody else, if you start talking about it, it jumps up to 72% chance. So there's a natural progression in our human minds of us hearing the voice of the Lord and stepping out to avoid disaster when God says, I told you not, I told you do this. But you wouldn't listen. Would you stand to your feet today? Church, there's nothing more important than I can tell you in this moment. Please hear me. Would you look at my face before we end today? Look at my face, look at my eyes. Please hear me. I have to be true for what the Lord told me to tell you today. Please look at me, look at me, look at me, look at me. You don't have time. You don't have time. You don't have time. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm trying to light a fire underneath you. You've been called by God. You don't have to have it all worked out to be obedient to the first step. You don't have time. You don't have time. Listen and obey. Father, I thank you for every single person that has heard your voice today, those that may have heard it for the very, very first time, those that are already hearing you in your amazing ways to speak to them right where they are. I pray that you would seal this word in their heart, that it would begin to define them, begin to define their decisions, Lord, that they would not turn to the right or to the left. They wouldn't second guess themselves, but Father, they would persevere, that they would hold on to that word to help them navigate through the tough times that are coming ahead. Father, we are your people, the sheep of your pasture, and we follow you. First and foremost, we belong to you. We are citizens of heaven. We are not citizens of this earth. We're not citizens of this place, Lord. We belong to you. We are your children. You are our shepherd. And you say in your word in John 4, my sheep know my voice. They hear me and they will not follow after anyone else. Lord, that is us. We will not follow other voices, Father. We will not be sidetracked or confused by anybody else. We follow your voice. Our answer is yes. 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 Okay. Whatever you say. Now, with every head bowed and every eye closed, perhaps you're here today and you've never said yes to Jesus. Maybe you've never asked him to come into your heart to be your Lord and Savior. Maybe you've been away from God and you know that you need to come home. My friend, you don't have time. Today is your day. Make the decision today to ask him into your heart to forgive you of your sins. Time is not your friend. Today is the day of salvation. If that's you, what I want to do is just lead you in a prayer. You can pray it right where you are. The prayer goes like this. Just pray with me. Just say, Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. I believe that you came and died, but you rose again so that I could have life and forgiveness for every mistake. Would you come into my heart? Be the Lord of my life. I am yours. In Jesus' name I pray. My friend, if you just prayed that prayer with me, on the screen behind me is a phone number. Would you text me? Text the words, I pray, to 94090. I'd love to send you some things that will help you understand what just happened inside of your heart, and better yet, what to do next. Let us help you. Good for you. I'm very, very proud of you. Thank you for doing that for me.